Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 130. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, this is a pivotal point in the season and a pivotal episode for Dudes on Hockey.
Yes, it is a round number. We're at 130.
130.
Yeah.
And I'd say our temperature right now in Sharksland is about
130.
130.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is boiling mad, from GM Doug Wilson, who's made his yearly trip to the Sharks dressing room
right
to scold and chide the boys for not playing hard enough.
Shake his finger.
To fans at the tank.
Yeah.
Watching the Sharks turn in two pretty dismal performances against Buffalo and Nashville.
Right.
To fans out in public, friends of ours who we've talked to today, who are calling for some pretty drastic measures.
You're being accosted at the workplace, are you, dude?
I wouldn't say accosted. I would say some people, multiple people at work today, had some pretty strong statements about the Sharks and where should they go from here and what should they do. And it's a moment where, as Sharks fans and for management, do you panic? Do you pull the strings, dude?
Yeah.
Or is it not panicking? Is a move needed in order to right the ship? What is the right move, dude? All these questions, no real clear-cut answers, but
right,
we're going to debate them all anyways, dude.
Is it ripcord time, I think? People are getting fed up. It's a slightly different calculation this year. I think people are sensing that maybe the Sharks aren't on the upslope anymore. And a couple years ago, I remember a downturn and people get mad. But it seems like the tone is a little different this time. It seems like people are mad because they're not playing up to their potential, blah, blah, blah. But it seems a little more desperate to me this time. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just putting my own filter on it. But it seems like it seems a little bit more desperate. It seems a little angrier to me this time, as opposed to just like frustration. Why aren't the Sharks playing well? Oh, they have talent, blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, okay, who can we ditch? You know, pull the ripcord. Who's going, you know, who's going to get traded? You know, how do we get Joe out of town? I mean, seriously, I mean, people are really pissed off.
Well, I think a lot of it goes back to a lot of fans we heard from in the off season over the summer. We're not really happy with the tweaks that were made to this team,
mm-hmm,
which essentially was changing the goaltending situation. And really, that's it. You know, swapping in Jamal Mayers for Manny Malhotra.
Right.
And that was the major changes. Really, there was nothing else to speak of. Lacking that second defenseman, but sticking with the forward core. Dude, a little bit of analysis time.
Is
a little bit of self-reflection.
Okay.
A bit of picking apart the team.
Resolution time.
There are different solutions to this problem,
right,
or different possible prospects. For the Sharks, as we stand right here, they've lost four games in a row. They've lost six of their last eight. They've been shut out two out of the three last three games.
Mm-hmm.
One goal in their last three games. And some would call into question their general effort.
Sure.
In some of these contests. Number one, you could stay the course.
Right.
Number two, you start getting rid of some of the main players in this soap opera called the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
And three, you fire the coach.
Right.
Dude, first of all, let's leave stay the course behind.
Okay.
Is option two, getting rid of Joe, Marlowe, and Heatley, even realistic?
I don't think it's really possible. I mean, it may technically be possible. I'm sure you can find a team that will take Joe Thornton off of your hands, or Patrick Marlowe, or Danny Heatley. I mean, there's probably no doubt. But one, there's a big obstacle in the road is I think all of them have either a no movement or a no trade. So they would all have to okay the deal if you're going to get rid of one of these, you know, big players. And I think the second line with Couture and Klo is the line that's actually working hard, at least most people's estimation. And it's really these top high paid forwards that seem to be the guys not contributing. So of course you have to overcome that obstacle. And of course the second obstacle would be you would never actually get full value for them. If you traded Joe Thornton, you would get the reverse of what we did. You would get Marco Sturm and Wayne Primo and Brad Stewart. And, you know, to those Sharks fans that might be thinking, entertaining the possibility of trading one of these great players, how would you like it if we went and got Wojtek Volski and Michael Roosevelt for Joe Thornton, right? I mean, we saw that trade go down today, trade of two sort of marginal players, two disappointing players on their respective teams. I mean, these are the kinds of players we're talking about. We're not going to go out and get a blue chip player for these guys.
Let's make this super clear, dude. Mm-hmm. There's no chance this is happening.
No.
No way. First of all, these guys, that two of them have no move. Mm-hmm. That's Heatley and Marlowe. No move. That means they can't be sent down. They can't be traded. You can't even ask them to move their car, dude, without getting their approval.
Right.
Joe Thornton has a no trade, which means you could send him down to Worcester and pay him $7 million. But that's not going to happen.
Stupid.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. And the other thing, dude, is aren't these guys still, even though they're dogging it right now mm-hmm. and not delivering, aren't they still three of the top 50 players in the NHL?
Yeah.
I mean, two of them are for sure, and yeah. one is maybe on the border.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
I mean, they're 1 year removed from being part of the Canadian gold medal team. It's not like these guys are all of a sudden, like, lugging, you know, hockey pucks around in their bag, and they're washed up.
Right.
They've hit a wall for some reason.
Right, right.
So that option, people can just forget about it.
Yeah, just forget about
it. It's not going to happen.
You can have the conspiracy theory. You can say that there's some sort of you know, crazy thing afoot, and they're all terrible, and they're going to trade him. But in reality, it's not going to happen.
No way. These guys want to stay. We just saw two of them take a huge discount mm-hmm. from what they could have made on the open market to stay. They have families. They want to be here. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
So that takes us to another question of, are they just too comfortable? Has this team reached a comfort level with each other, with themselves, that maybe they're not pushing themselves hard enough or being pushed hard enough
by their
coach?
It's possible. And one difference between last season and this one is that Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton are not in contract years. You know, people, I know that it's a pretty cynical way of looking at the league and looking at players, but you know, history bears out a lot of players performing pretty well in their contract years. And now that Joe and Patty are locked up, could you say that, okay, they've settled in a bit, they've relaxed a bit now that they've got, you know, a nice, stable, multi-million-dollar salary to count on?
So do you want to make a change just to make a change? Do you want to trade Ryan Klo? Absolutely not, right?
No.
He's the only guy, well, one of the only guys that on a nightly basis you could see, like, he's doing everything he can to try and motivate this team, from calling him out in the media to getting in a fight in the Buffalo game
right.
to try and fire everybody up. He's busting his butt. He's having his best season as a pro. And then we're just going to ship him out because we got to make a change.
Right.
That's not going to happen. You're right. not going to trade Luka Couture. You're not going to give away Joe Pavelski, dude.
Right.
These things aren't going to happen. So if there's going to be a fall guy in this, is it going to be Todd McClellan, dude?
It's possible, because it's so much easier to fire a coach than to fire all the players. And you can, it's easy to say, well, the reason they're not performing well is because they're not being properly motivated by the coach. It's an easy move to make. I don't see that happening, because this is the same coach that 40 games ago took them to the conference finals and they lost to the Stanley Cup champion.
And the year before that, they won the President's Trophy.
Right.
So that doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. You're just going to bag him in the middle of the year? This ain't working. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Trent Yanni, go for it. You've got a great track record. Not, you know, yeah. Hey, let's give it, give the reins over to Matt Shaw or whoever's just lurking around. That guy who watches all that video. Come on in, Jay Woodcroft. Show us some video, you know?
Yeah.
There's no magic solution here, dude.
Right.
So, like it or not, I think we all have to accept the fact that whether we're happy with the core of this team or not, these are our boys for the rest of the year.
Right. And probably for more than the rest of the year. Right.
I mean, we're now in the off season, I think you can do maybe have a little more time to work something out. But during the middle of the year, you can't do anything. And I also think you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't just blow it up. What team has done that in memory, traded like a huge part of their team and then gone on a run?
Right. It doesn't happen.
Right. It doesn't happen.
Right.
So this is kind of where we stand, dude.
It's in a precarious position. Yes. It's an intestinal fortitude moment. We're last in the Pacific Division. We are teetering on the edge of the playoffs.
We're under 500, dude.
Yeah.
If you take the overtime losses, we're under 500. We're 21-22. We're under 500 at home. I'm so sick of watching these lackluster performances.
Right.
So are you mad, dude? Are you disappointed? Are you woeful? Do you feel weepy? Describe your emotions to
me. I'm certainly disappointed. I think that's the overarching emotion for me. It just seems like... I don't think these guys are bagging it. I don't think they're trying to dial it in. Well, I mean, these guys have been professionals and competitive guys for their entire lives. I don't think they just suddenly decide, you know what? I'm tired of trying hard. I'm just going to sit here and show up and skate around and do okay. I don't think that's in their DNA. I don't think that works that way for whatever reason. And I have no idea what the formula is. They're just not all clicking together this year for whatever reason it is. And I would like to think that Joe Pavelski coming back might provide a boost. I'm really hoping. We've seen Joe Pavelski sort of put this team on his shoulders at times during the playoffs last year and at other times during the regular season. I would like to think that might change, you know, the seasoning and the stew when Joe Pavelski comes back, because as we've seen, you know, watching television shows about hockey and stuff, when you're injured, you're not usually around the guys the same way you are as if you're in the lineup every night. Sometimes you're sort of pushed aside. You're a little marginalized while you're out of the lineup. And then when you get back in the lineup, then you're back in the mix. But I'd like to think Joe Pavelski could make a difference here. You know, maybe, the Rob Blake factor is bigger than we thought. Maybe the Manny Malhotra factor is bigger than we thought. I don't know. But I think these are the cards we've been dealt, and we have to play them as they are. And if we just start, you know, discarding things, then we're going to set this franchise back a lot further than if we just sort of stood pat.
Totally agree, dude. Jamie Baker said two things after the game on the radio on Sunday night when we lost really disappointingly to an Anaheim team that doesn't have their best player in Ryan Getzlaf.
Yes, yeah.
And on a totally off, topic, but on the same thing, I mean, how many shots are we going to have blocked? I mean, that is just maybe in the last three games the most noticeable and most disappointing thing.
Right.
We're out shooting them, but we seem to shoot the puck like right into people's skates and knees more than I've ever noticed before.
Right.
But we don't do the same thing on the other side. Anyways, Jamie Baker said that it would be unacceptable if the Sharks didn't get 6 points this week at home. Unacceptably said. They have to win out. Mm-hmm. They need to get 6 points or five at the very minimum. If they don't win all three of these games,
yeah.
If they go 1-2 on this homestand,
mm-hmm.
Is Doug Wilson going to feel compelled to do something? Or do you think he just isn't motivated by that and is just going to say, I'm stay the course, 1,000 points alive. Is he just going to go just say, I'm not going to buckle. I believe in these guys. Or does he lose credibility after going into that dressing room and saying, come on, you guys, again? I mean, doesn't this happen every year? I mean, doesn't he have to maybe do something?
I wish I knew the answer. I don't think...
I'm just trying to push your buttons.
I know. I understand. I mean, it's a terrible situation. And, I mean, we feel awkward about it and conflicted. I mean, can you imagine if you're in Doug Wilson's chair? And
we watched him pacing around his box
right
in the Nashville game. He couldn't sit down.
Right.
I'm sure he feels sick about it.
And you know? I mean, I was thinking about the Washington, you know, I would think about 24/7 when Washington was in that huge losing streak. They lost 6-7 in a row. And like people are calling for Boudreaux's head. People are, you know, and George McPhee is just, I mean, I think Doug Wilson is probably like George McPhee was. We got a good team here. We're going to turn this thing around.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of what you have to do, right?
Right.
I mean, if you start pulling the trigger on all these stupid moves, then guess what? That's a really easy way for a GM to get fired, isn't it?
Yeah, it's being impulsive, right?
Right.
And I'm gonna trade
Patrick Marleau for Olli Jokinen. You know,
I'm Daryl Sutter.
Need a different
Let's fix it. We're gonna do it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Trade Dan Boyle for Michael Roosevelt.
Oh, I'm in.
You know, I mean,
throw in Matthew Schneider's expiring.
I mean, this is an easy way to get yourself out of a job. I can't see that happening. And the thing is, as Sharks fans, we're going to have to sit here and grit our teeth and bear it. And it's going to be excruciating if they continue to lose games. I think they could easily lose tomorrow to Toronto. I think it's easy. I think they're beating LA tonight. LA has not been playing well at home as of late. But Toronto's been, they've been fine lately. I think St. Louis is a much more winnable game than Toronto. But I think we could easily lose to Toronto tomorrow. And it would be awful.
So let me tell you the second thing that Jamie Baker said,
okay. Which
is something that we've talked about from the beginning of the year. But now this is becoming a wholehearted reality, dude.
Mm-hmm.
He said the same thing, similar to what you just said. This might not be so bad. This might be what this team needs.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the way to get the Sharks to play playoff hockey in February. And March, so that they have to play their way into the tournament instead of just, you know, riding easy street, 15 points on top of the Pacific Division, and then getting ambushed by Colorado or getting ambushed by the Ducks. I mean, you think about what happened to the Ducks 2 years ago.
They went on a run.
They went on a huge run, and then they almost made it all the way.
Right.
When they ran into Detroit, who ended up, you know, winning the whole thing. Right?
Right.
So, oh, no, they didn't. Pittsburgh did.
Yeah.
Wait. Anyways, they made it. They made it to the finals. So, could this end up being the right situation for this team that has really been on top the last 2 years and really not had to look over their shoulder? Now, they're going to be fighting for every point coming up in the next 2.5 months.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to be able to take a week off.
No.
And say, okay, well, we still got this division locked up. I mean, they're last in the division right now. They're not going to be able to do that. So they're going to be able to keep their focus at this point, right? They're not going to say, well, we...
Playoffs?
Who's talking about playoffs? Playoffs?
I don't want to practice. And we're quoting all the great sports lines here.
Yeah, this is a weird spot because I was looking back at our old podcast and we started in June of 2008. I mean, can you believe we've been doing this for like a year and a half now?
Whoa, 2.5 years.
Oh, 2.5 years.
Wait.
Yeah. It'll be three years in June. So we've been doing this for over 2.5 years. So think of all of those seasons that we've been doing this podcast. We have never been in this position.
Right.
We have never been in this position where it's January, we're halfway into the season, and there's a legitimate chance the Sharks won't make the playoffs. I mean, right. We were never even close to that at any time during this podcast history. And so it's going to be interesting to see sort of how, I'm interested to see like sort of how we talk about it going forward. Because before it's always like, well, the Sharks are going to make the playoffs. Who are they going to play? We don't want them to play Detroit. We, you know, oh, the Ducks are a terrible draw. Now it's like, okay, can we make it? Can we get in? You know, I mean, seriously.
Which could end up being exactly the right thing for this team.
Right.
Could make them work harder. Could force them to be playing playoff hockey a lot sooner. Now, you know, are tweaks still in order? Yes. Do we still need another defenseman? I'm tired of watching Ken Huskins.
Yes.
I can't take it much longer, dude.
Right. Yeah.
This guy just does nothing well. I mean, everything is...
I know.
Just... average or less. And I think it was a bold statement when I asked you at the game the other night. I said, is Ken Huskins, like, he's making $1.7 million this year,
right?
Is he what's he gonna, what kind of contract is he gonna get next year from somebody? And you said
he's not even gonna be in the league.
You said he's not even gonna be in the league. So if Andres Lilja can't find a job
right
in the offseason, Kent Huskins, he's not gonna find a job in the offseason. I hope he saved his money.
Right.
Because this is, watch him go on a tear.
Right, yeah.
He's going to win the Norris.
Now he's going to score seven goals okay. in seven games.
But that's just, that's not acceptable to have a guy just hanging around playing those six defenseman minutes and sometimes more when he's not contributing, dude.
Right.
And
he's making that kind of money. I mean, think of how many players you can have out there that aren't, they're making half that.
Right.
Andres Lilja is making half that.
So this goes back to a rumor that I called you about when I read about it in the paper. Mm-hmm. I've read it twice in the last week, and we'll see it up close and personal tomorrow. The Setoguchi for Francois Beauchemin dream that I've been talking about this for like a year and a half, dude.
I know.
And now finally someone's listening. I don't know how the hell this is gonna go down, but you know, I've read it in print, and it's not just me writing it, scrawling it on a desk and with a knife,
right?
You know, over and over again. Seto for Beauchemin. It just makes too much sense to me, dude.
I know.
Talk me out of it. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think you're right.
Would you pull the trigger on that deal today?
I think I'd have to pull the trigger at this point. I mean, if we're going to see Huskins every night,
It's not good. It's not good enough. Boschman's got a great shot. He's, you know, decently mobile. He can lock huge minutes. He's got Stanley Cup finals experience. This guy is a solid number two, number three defenseman.
He didn't win with the Ducks?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's a legit player.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
For the Leafs, why wouldn't they want to have the opportunity to have Devin Setoguchi on their team to play with their young players and control his rights and try and sign him up, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would think it makes sense. And under the salary cap at this point, it works. I looked it up on Cap Geek, the trade machine. It works. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't even have to do anything else. I was like, well, maybe we make them take Kent Huskins. Well, even if they refused, you wouldn't
we
have to
still do
that.
It, yeah.
And Burke came out and said he doesn't want draft picks. He wants to trade players for players. He wants new players to his roster. So Seto for Beauchemin. Oh man, dude, it just makes way too much sense.
It does. We may, it could be sort of a thou doth protest too much situation, right? I mean, no one wants the media. I mean, what's Brian Burke going to say? Yep, we're negotiating that. Of course he's not going to say that. You don't want, because then all of a sudden you have, you know, the media capital of hockey, Toronto, everybody's abuzz with this trade. Oh, what, you know, what more could Toronto get? What more would they have to give up? Blah, blah, blah. And then there's this huge thing. He's asked about it everywhere he goes. I'm sure Brian Burke doesn't want that. If he's going to make this deal, if he's even thinking about making this deal, he wants to make this deal with his own counsel, the counsel of his assistant general manager, maybe the coach, all that kind of stuff, and just leave it out of the rabid press that's in Toronto. There's no reason to acknowledge anything. And of course, Doug Wilson would never acknowledge anything. For all we know, the deal is all but signed and it's just, you know, just hasn't come through, or he's never even talked to Brian Burke about it. I mean, we're never really going to know.
No, we'll never know the truth, but something on that front hopefully is going to happen. And, you know, bringing in one or two new players, veteran guys,
mm-hmm.
might be the sort of jump that this team needs. You think about what Brian Campbell did for this team
right
down the stretch. In 2008, dude.
Well, we win 20 straight or something.
Yeah, I mean, they went on just a huge, massive run. He completely transformed this team.
Right.
Like when he was traded to the Sharks, like the game just totally changed, and the guy transformed the way they were able to play the game, and it was a huge addition to the team, and I don't think they'll be able to do something quite that dramatic.
No.
But even bringing in one or two new guys could just sort of change the culture of semi-complacency that might be going on this team.
And that's certainly a play that Doug Wilson has used before. He's certainly not adverse to going out, getting a Bill Guerin, which didn't unfortunately work out. You know, go out and get a Travis Moen, a character guy, a veteran guy that you think can sort of shore up the team. Now it's not so much a question of shoring up the team. It's a question of putting the team back on the rails.
Right.
But you know,
but we've seen some weakness actually in that bottom forward spots where, you know, obviously, you know, the coach says he doesn't have any. The coach has no confidence in the younger players, right?
Yeah.
McClellan is not willing to play Mashinter any sort of legitimate minutes.
No.
I think that Jamie McGinn must have insulted McClellan's mother. He hates Jamie McGinn. He doesn't right. play him in any sort of critical situations. I mean, Jamie McGinn is in the permanent doghouse with McClellan, at least for right now. And, you know, the Desjardins Wingles, that has not panned out.
Nobody's stuck.
I mean, do they need to look for adding another? I mean, and they don't like Fraser McLaren either.
Obviously not. I mean,
he's not here. So do they need
he's
to be
been
looking?
Fighting some injuries in Worcester, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I think that kid's pretty good.
Yeah.
Know? And I was pretty disappointed when they shipped him out, dude. So what's the Rooster going to do here, dude?
Stay the course. I mean, now it's, you know, at least the latest word is that, you know.
So is this, should we get shirts made? San Jose Sharks,
stay the course. San Jose Sharks have something to get excited about. Stay in the course.
We're going to stay that course. Win or lose, we're going to stay it.
Yeah, I'm going to print some t-shirts. Sharks business is stay in the course and business is good. It's like my River King shirt.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. So, man. This is a tough spot. It's excruciating being in this position, and I can understand fans of other teams being in the same spot, because you do sort of feel like that this season is a bit of a crossroads, right? Is this the point at which the Sharks are most definitely on the downslope of what we've talked about, you know, these past couple of years? This is the window, you know, the best players we have and so forth. I mean, if the Sharks don't make the playoffs, it's pretty obvious we're on the downslope here.
So let me just roll down the teams that are ahead of us in the Western Conference, and you tell me whether you feel in your heart the Sharks are better than this team,
mm-hmm.
even, mm-hmm. or worse.
Okay.
Vancouver.
We're not better. We're so definitely worse.
Worse.
Yeah.
Detroit.
We're worse.
Even after beating them last year pretty solidly, you would say worse? I would say even.
I'd still say worse.
Okay.
Because I thought the Sharks took a
Dallas.
Step back. I mean, Dallas at worst.
Record aside, do you think in a 7-game series they could beat us?
No. I think we're better than Dallas.
So better than Dallas. Nashville.
We're better than Nashville.
Anaheim.
Better than Anaheim, too.
Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix, sure.
Chicago.
See, now we're talking, now it's maybe more even.
Even.
Although Chicago's taken a step back and they're pretty inconsistent like we are.
Colorado.
What have they done?
Better than Colorado.
Yeah.
LA.
LA even, I'd say, because I think LA's gotten better.
Minnesota.
Minnesota, I'd say we're better.
So I'd say out of those, I'm no math major, but I think you said 7 out of those 10 teams that you think were better than them.
I know. So am I just too rosy here? Do I just have rose-colored glasses on?
No,
am I
dude, just being I would have answered. I said even with Detroit,
right.
And you said worse. So, I mean, if we're looking at this, I mean, sure, we're upset right now, and the Sharks are playing like garbage, you know. But when it all is settled, are we really not going to be sitting in the playoffs?
It's possible.
No, I just don't believe that that's going to be what's going to happen. I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine a real situation where they don't get it together and go on a run all the way to the Stanley Cup. We're going to win it. No, I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't buy it with how much stronger this team is than the majority of those other teams that we named. And so many of them don't have the assets or the wherewithal to make any real additions. Phoenix, Nashville, what are they going to do at the deadline?
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
They end up usually giving stuff away,
right?
You know,
right.
Because they can't afford to keep things. Well, especially Nashville in the off season, they just give stuff away.
Yeah.
So, dude.
Good pep talk, though.
Thanks. How'd I do?
Pretty good.
Do you feel better?
I do feel a little bit better. And I think about other sports where there's these big, long seasons, and I think this is one of those reasons why it's kind of good to have a long season, because you can kind of get over these fits and starts. If the Sharks played 40 games, we'd be out of it right now.
So, if the Sharks Do you think the Sharks have kind of dodged the media bullet here a little bit right now? Because Jim Harbaugh has deflected all attention, really, from talk radio, from Chronicle Live, from the Merc. They're all writing about the 49ers. They're all writing about Jim Harbaugh, Stanford, the Raiders. You're not seeing that article right now from our friend Mark Purdy,
right?
You know, who, if that stuff wasn't going on, I bet he'd be talking a lot more about the Sharks. But a lot of, like, Tim Kawakami sometimes jumps on the Sharks, you know, when there's nothing going on. But nobody's really, I mean, paying attention to them, period.
Is there a Sharks? Is there a bullet? You said they dodged the bullet. I wasn't really aware there was a bullet.
Well,
I know we've talked before about how, you know, I mean, there's not a huge exact press corps,
sure,
in
but,
San Jose
but
covering
Mark
hockey.
Mark Purdy is usually pretty solid about, especially this time of year when,
right,
he has, as he's joked many times with us, that, you know, the 49ers, there's nothing left to write. So
yeah,
he usually is able to follow the Sharks, which he really enjoys. And, you know, we've talked about hopefully having Mark Purdy on again soon, and mm-hmm, he can talk a little bit about this, but this has flown a little bit under the radar, really, in terms of people getting mad about it in print, you know?
Right.
Another bad week of play, maybe they're not going to be able to avoid that speculation. Not that I don't know if that really makes a difference, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's not... I don't think we can exert... And I don't mean we. I mean, like, the royal we, not like you and me.
The coach says that the coach is mad.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to write a nasty post on dudesonhockey.com. That'll show them.
We get those sometimes.
Really, really hold their feet to the fire. You know, that's not going to happen. But, yeah, I think, I don't know if there's enough of a groundswell of media to blast. I mean, let's say, like, us and Fear the Finn, and then John Swenson and Sharks page, and the Merc, like, we all write sort of like down on the Sharks, you know, columns or articles or blogs or whatever. I mean, is that really gonna...
No, but I guess what I meant was, you know, sometimes when you get, you have three columns in the Mercury News about how much Mike Singletary sucks, it gets people, right, it gets people fired up.
Yeah.
All right. The general fan, the casual fan,
right,
would then now be jumping on the bandwagon in terms of getting upset. Like, I'm starting to hear from more people that I don't usually hear from. You know, there are the diehard Sharks fans that you hear from all the time. But then there are people who only pipe up when things are bad.
Like, my mom will call me. Like, my mom started watching hockey, you know, more the last couple seasons since I've been doing the podcast and since we were on the radio and stuff. And she's like... You know, she's not like the biggest hockey. She doesn't really understand like all the rules and everything, but she follows as much as she can. She goes, you know, this will be like the time where she would call me up. Man, what do you think's wrong with the Sharks? You know, we don't talk about hockey very much, but now might be one of those times. I haven't gotten the call yet, but I could expect
it. It's coming. After she listens to this, it's coming.
It could come. Yeah. If she's listening. Yeah. Thanks, Mom.
We know you're listening, Jane. hope you enjoy the podcast tonight.
I know, it's funny. I mean, it makes us sort. I feel like it makes us a bad media pundits if we're not like calling for somebody's head, though. But you know what? We've never kind of been that way, right? I mean, because doesn't that necessarily mean that we think we know a lot better than the people who are actually sitting in the chairs?
Yeah, I think we did agree at the end of the 2008 season that Ron Wilson needed to go.
Yeah,
we did right. agree. That was the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And we did call for the trade of Chichu, you know, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're usually very good at prognosticating who's coming in, you know, in terms of we got Brian Campbell, right?
Yeah.
You know, you called for Dan Boyle. It happened. So I've been begging for Yanni Pitkinen or Francois Beauchemin. I only hope that I'm right in terms of one of those guys. We shall see, dude. But I think the realistic summary of tonight's discussion is if you're looking for one of the big guys to be moved because you want to see some sort of major change, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to be waiting a while.
If you really think that firing Todd McClellan is the right decision, we think you're wrong. And we also think that that's not going to happen either. I don't know if Doug Wilson's going to make that knee-jerk reaction. He doesn't strike me as that type of guy. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, if he doesn't make a move like that after sort of chastising the team, does he lose his internal credibility with his own players?
I don't think so. I mean, he can't throw the switch any more than the players can throw the switch. Does he honestly think that, well, man, I just need to go down there and give them boys a stern talking to, and then all of a sudden they're just going to turn it around?
If he didn't think that that was going to have an impact.
Well, I'm sure he hoped it would have an impact. Can you honestly be super surprised if, hey, one guy going in there and saying, hey, shape up, guys. Man,
how would you like,
I didn't just turn the whole thing around. I'm shocked.
You like to say, dude, I'd like you to give a self-evaluation of yourself on the podcast. Ready? Yeah. Go.
Okay, me? Okay, I'll go. I say I mean a lot when I listen back to the podcast. So I have these verbal tics that I use all the time that really bugs me. So I need to get better at that, dude. But I'd say my overall voice modulation is pretty good. You know, it sounds okay. I'm not like the guy, that homeless guy on the video. I'm not like that guy who has like the crazy radio voice, you know, that kind of thing. And it would be nice if I actually knew something about hockey, but I can just work on that.
You can't ask for everything.
I know. Can't get it. What about you, dude? Give an evaluation of your performance on the podcast.
I think it's pretty darn good.
You're the Ovechkin of hockey podcasters.
I got nothing to say. I live at home with my parents and they cook for me. I am Ovechkin.
What'd she make tonight? Stew tonight. Woo!
It was some sort of red stew.
All right.
Speaking of Russians.
Yes.
Before we close it out, we've got an email, dude.
Our boy Dimitri sent us an email. Questions@dudesonhockey.com is the email address. It says, good to hear you back from Christmas vacation. Video from New York is epic. I hope that's a good enough plug. I hope everybody's seen our New York video. Dimitri wants our opinion on the 2011 IIHF Junior Hockey Finals. He's just ecstatic about his homeland team winning probably the most unbelievable game I've ever seen, but I want to hear what you have to say. And looking forward to seeing those Russian stars playing in the NHL soon, like Tarasenko, Kuznetsov, Orlov, Bobkov, etc. So, dude, what can you say about the Canada versus Russia Junior Finals? Pretty amazing game.
I guess what I would say about that is try and hold your celebration down on a Southwest flight after you win.
Yeah. Oh,
Didn't they get kicked off their flight?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
They got kicked off their flight. Don't fly commercial after winning the World Juniors.
Get a charter next time.
Pretty incredible comeback. I mean,
really, really exciting. Obviously, you know, I don't think it's the most unbelievable game I've ever seen. You know, U.S. Canada gold medal game in the Olympics has a special place in my heart. I mean, that was a pretty unbelievable game. Certainly didn't have the roller coaster ride of a three nothing advantage for one team and then coming back to win. I mean, that must have been pretty thrilling. But it's good hockey. The thing is, you know, I read the other day, Dimitri, is that there's less than 30 Russian players in the NHL right now. And I think a lot of those NHL players are playing in the KHL. Why wouldn't you want to play in your homeland with, you know, your family and your friends and the language you understand and all that kind of stuff, and instead of being uprooted? And I wonder if a lot of these guys that you mentioned, you know, Tarasenko and Kuznetsov and so forth, some of these guys just might sign KHL deals and we might, you know, continue to see, you know, only a spattering of Russian players in the NHL. I'd be interested to see what Dimitri thinks about that. But second question, can you tell me where I can get podcasts of NHL radio or any other NHL related radio shows? So Dimitri's asking us to recommend competitors. I don't know. Do we want
to? I can easily give an answer to this, dude.
Okay.
You go to iTunes.
Right.
You type in Dudes on Hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And you press repeat and just listen over
and you just listen to all the old
shows. I listen
shows.
To NHL Live podcasts. They pull specific interviews from the NHL Live radio show. They put that on iTunes. You can actually break it down into categories too, so you can hear only Kevin Allen from USA Today's interviews. Eddie Olczyk. Why you'd want to listen to that, I don't know.
I don't know either.
You've got they have it broken up into like five different categories. That's really the main NHL podcast that I listen to, is those. I think the interviews they have with the players and other GMs are really interesting, actually. So,
and I mean, there are a lot of hockey podcasts on iTunes. If you use the iTunes application, you go to the iTunes store. That's one way. I know a lot of listeners got our podcast initially. I've noticed that there hasn't been any recent reviews of our podcast. I was checking the iTunes page the other day. Oh. So how about a free Dudes on Hockey t-shirt to the listener that writes the best iTunes review in the next week?
How do we know that they're the ones that wrote it?
Well, you're going to have to put your name on the review, and then you're going to have to... It's going to have to be some sort of, you know... identifiable name, and there's going to have to be some method of identification, not just the honor system. And of course,
I like this bribery.
And yeah, of course. And I just want an honest review. Notice I didn't say a good review. I said the best review, as in the best written review, not as in these guys are the greatest thing since sliced bread. If you write a very well reasoned thing that says these guys are pretty good, maybe that might win.
These guys are pretty good.
You never know.
I've heard worse.
I've heard these guys are all right.
these guys are okay, but I would really love to waive Mike's no movement clause and ship him out for Francois Beauchemin.
But yeah, you can find lots of hockey podcasts run by people close to the media world or close to the hockey world or people like us who aren't. I did a lot of that research before we started our podcast. I wasn't too successful in finding stuff that I personally liked, but it doesn't mean there aren't ones out there that you might like. So
something that might be magic for you.
Might be magic for you. I haven't found a lot of magic out there, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, to be honest.
That's right. So we could create mediocre content for our own.
Slightly
enjoyment.
Better than mediocre, dude.
Slightly.
That's what I'm shooting for.
That's a great review. So we're looking forward to giving away some stuff.
T-shirt.
Yeah. Love it.
Got some new ones. All right, dude. We're near the end of the podcast. I know we didn't get to any... Did we get to resolutions last week? Do we have any resolutions? Not necessarily for the Sharks, for us, for the podcast. Anything you want to get off your chest? Anything you're shooting for this year? You want to dress better? You want... you said you want an away jersey. I don't know. Is that really a resolution?
No, not really. I'm trying to expand my hockey jersey collection.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess that's
Stockton
a resolution.
Stockton Thunder.
I might have a resolution to not spend $25 on the Sharks yearbook.
What do you mean? That was cool.
Yeah, you're right. But that's $25, dude.
But you know what? It's a ripoff, but everything there is a ripoff. It's worth it.
You're right.
What can I say? If you're going to spend the $25 and get the 20 years in teal yearbook, because you get a little blurb about all of these Sharks players, you haven't heard their names in years. Chris Tansel. You know, it's just, I just enjoy...
Vlasti Krupa.
Yeah, I just enjoy opening up a book and seeing a picture of Chris Tansel and seeing what he did in a Sharks uniform. I just think it's cool. Jeff Norton. All these guys you haven't thought of in forever.
Was Mike Eagledon in the book?
I think so.
Oh, he must have been.
He must have
been. Anyone who played a single game.
Did he play?
Maybe he didn't.
I don't think he ever played a single game for the Sharks.
Oh, he just
played
in
Worcester.
I think he was
only on Worcester. Yeah.
Worcester. Andrew Desjardins now in the book.
Unfortunately, the dearly departed Tom Cavanaugh was in the book.
Yes.
That's a really, really sad story. That was kind of a shock. And, you know,
Well, how would we ever know, you know, I mean, that sort of information, you know, in terms of, and it hasn't really ever gotten out in terms of being specific in terms of what that mental illness is that they're referring to. A very sad situation to be found.
Well, one report I said mentioned that he took his own life, and another thing I mentioned, it seemed like it was more of a violent end. I have no idea what happens. It doesn't really matter, frankly, at the end of the day. I mean, the harsh reality of it is you got a guy who's under 30 years old who played some professional hockey in the Sharks organization, and his life was cut short, and that's just it's a terrible thing. I thought it was pretty classy for the Sharks to have a moment of silence for the national game. I thought that was... It was pretty cool. Doug's almost laughing.
There was a semi-funny moment that happened. I think we should end the podcast with this.
Okay.
All right. You be the Sharks announcer, and I will be the person at the end of our row who wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'd like to, before we move on to the national anthem, we'd like to have a moment of silence for Tom Cavanaugh, who recently... and tragically passed away at the tender age of 28. And the Sharks family are aggrieved. They're,
what happened?
Yeah, exactly. So one guy sort of just heard Tom Cavanaugh and thought, cool, I like Tom Cavanaugh.
And started applauding.
And missed the preamble.
It was the only person in the arena.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was a little funny. His heart was in the right place. I don't believe for a moment he was actually applauding the tragic demise of Tom Cavanaugh.
I mean,
that would be awful.
Very sad. So, way to end the show on a downer, too.
Yeah,
after we had kind of revved ourselves back up, now we're back in the dumps.
Now I talked us back down. But we'll be back again next week, dude. We're not stopping anything. The train keeps rolling. Dudes That's on right. Hockey keeps rolling. And... you know, send us your questions.
Stay the course.
Let us know what you think. Comment on the blog, and we'll be back again.
Get that t-shirt.
Next week, same time.
45 minutes of fun.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.